in 1 Corinthians part 10, and it has really been a great series for us just to dive in to see what Paul's heart is for his church and what he really is envisioning for this new church that has been birthed so that it can grow in full maturity. And how many of you know that that's what God's heart is for you to grow in full maturity? Mm-hmm. God does not want you to stay babes in Christ. He wants you to grow. And so he allows problems to come in, like today, and things to come in order to test where your faith is at, to say, hey, listen, am I still in control no matter what? Do you still have to have it the way you think it should be in order for your faith to work? Mm-hmm. Your faith should work even when things are broken or not working for you. That's when real faith is put into the test and really activated into your life. Can you really believe that God is still good and God is still at work in your life regardless of whether or not you think things are going the way you think they should go? And how many of you would attest to that and say it is a test for you mm-hmm. when things are not going the way you think they should go
yeah.
for your faith to still stay steadfast and for you to keep moving? And so God is not rattled by that stuff. He's not rattled. And so we have to have an understanding that if God is not rattled, we don't have to be rattled. We can still stay steadfast in our faith. And so Paul is trying to get them to say, hey guys, listen, it's time for you to grow up, get stable in your faith, and really to get rid of some of the vices that you're experiencing in your life that you're allowing to creep into the church, and really stay steadfast in who Jesus Christ is. And so as we go on to 1 Corinthians 10, I really want you to get engaged today about really where your hope is. And this message today is really about a hope barometer. Where's your hope? And hopefully by the end, you're really going to sense what God's doing. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. We pray as we go into this message that you would help us to just understand what your heart is for us so that your spirit can flow through us more freely. We thank you, God, for issues that do come into our life that help strengthen us and help us get to where we need to be in our life. God, you're so faithful. Thank you, God, for people today who are struggling maybe with hope, that today they're going to get hope, find hope in you, because really when it's all said and done, you are our only hope. And so I pray today that people would feel encouraged and challenged in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're starting in verse 1. He says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. He said, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. And so there is an understanding that you have to come to in your faith that there is a holding fast that has to take place in your life if you're going to make it. If you are not holding on to Jesus Christ, it is going to be easy to slip and to fall and to place your hope in things that are not lasting. And so having that understanding is important for you. My only hope has to be in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation is based upon my hope in Jesus, what Jesus did for me, not what I did or what I can do for Jesus. It just doesn't work that way. My hope has to be that way. And so anytime issues come into your life, Paul is trying to help them see, hey, listen, we've talked about the gifts, we've talked about what it means, we've talked about the love of Christ and what it means to love. Now we need to go in and talk about the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. Because without this, all that other stuff does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We talked about that in verse 13. But now we are going to chapter 14. And he's going and 15. And now he's saying, listen, hope is the one thing that we have to rest or sure on. Because let's just be really honest. If we don't have hope, we're not going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you would say, listen, if it wasn't for Jesus really showing up in my life, I probably would not be here today.
Yeah, right.
Let's just be honest with that.
Yeah.
How many of you would be honest and say, if it wasn't for him getting me up this morning, I probably wouldn't have made it?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are things that are happening in your life that we don't understand, that we can't really put our heads around, and that we can't hold on to, that we need someone to make sense of it all. And the only person that we know who can make sense of it all is Jesus Christ. That's why when the Bible says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths or make your paths straight. It is a really valid scripture, because unless you've been in a situation where you don't understand what is happening, that scripture does not come alive to you.
Mm-hmm.
A matter of fact, scripture does not come alive to you until you start going through something.
That's right.
And you don't begin to understand what it actually means. It's just something that you hear, and it's nice, and it's good rhetoric, but unless you really start having to apply scripture into your life, it doesn't become real to you, and it's not cemented in your soul. And until it becomes part of who you are, like David said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you, that word acts as a guide. And so, and I've said this before, God is going to test his word in you. He's going to test it because his word does not return void. Every time he sends it out, it's going to accomplish what it's supposed to accomplish. And so today, if that word is coming up in your heart and if God is asking you to hold on to that word, he is sending it out so it can accomplish something like a boomerang, and he's going to get it back the way it's supposed to be. Something is going to come from what he said. And so if God has pronounced blessing over your life, there's going to be blessing. If God wants you to be fruitful in your life, you're going to be fruitful. There's no reverting back on what God has said. There's nothing in here that can stop God's plan for your life. Nothing in here can thwart it. And so if you're in here and you're of the mindset that says, well, the things that I do can thwart God's ultimate plan, you are mistaken, because you cannot thwart God's ultimate plan. God's ultimate plan will go forward. The Bible says that many are the plans of a man's heart, but the Lord's counsel, or the Lord is the one who directs his steps. And so ultimately, it's God's counsel that will prevail. We are just trying to be in step with Jesus and what he does. And so when we make our plans and we're trying to figure out where to go, he is the one who's directing our steps. That's why when you end up in situations and you say to yourself, I have no idea how you got there. I do. The Lord is the one who's directing your steps. And he'll give you an inkling and show up and let you know, hey, that was me who did that. Because he is the one who goes before you. The Bible says that he goes before you, he's behind you, he's all around you. And so he is the one who encompasses your life and directs your steps where they need to go. Well, what does that mean when it comes to tragedy and hardship, even in those times? And we don't like to talk about necessarily the goodness of God in those times because of what that hardship and difficulty does for us, but it is in those times that we even see God's goodness in another scale. Because the Bible says that he is actually near to the brokenhearted. He's near. And so if you have a broken heart today and you are suffering and you're grieving, guess what? God's near to you. Because he wants to lift you up. Don't let grief, don't let disappointment keep you stuck from moving on to all that God has called you to move on to. It is a trap of the enemy to get you to drown in sorrow or in regret so that you don't experience the goodness of God and actually walk into God's fullness for your life. It's a trap. How many of you have you been there where you felt tempted to get stuck, and then instead of move on, and then God either had to send a wind, he had to send someone to get you moving in your life, because he knows that we can get stuck. That's the very reason why when in the Old Testament, when he went to Israel and he said, listen, how long are you going to mourn for Saul? It was like 30 days. He said, listen, you've mourned for him too long. Moses, how long are you going to mourn for this guy? It's time to go. I've raised someone else up so that he can take you actually into the promised land and into the place that I've called you to go into. And so even in your life right now, there is a time for grieving. There is a time for you to lament things that you have lost. But there's a time for it. There's a season for it. And that season has to end. And so allow that season to take place, but move on from it. Don't let that be the thing that holds you down so that you really can't move on. Because there's a hope in Jesus Christ that really brings us joy so that we can experience the goodness of God and where he's leading us. Because you don't want to miss the goodness of God and where he's taking you from what you've been through, what you lost in your life. You don't want to miss it. Because in reality, those things that you lose and those things that you go through in your life are a test of where your faith is at anyway. Are they mine? Is that situation mine? Ultimately, am I the one that you should be following or putting your hope and your faith in? Ultimately, yes. So that when you don't get what you want to get in your life, you can trust that there is a God who is in control and sovereign, giving you what you need now. You may not get what you want, but you'll get the grace to endure the season that you're in right now. Because his grace is sufficient for you. A lot of times we're asking for God just to take us out, and God said, I'm going to give you the grace to move through it. And we can have a hope that God is good in those seasons because his grace is sufficient for us. Paul even knew what we were talking about, because Paul several times said, hey, I asked the Lord to take this thorn out of my flesh 3 times. And God said, hey, listen, my grace is sufficient. And Paul turned around and said, okay, then I'm going to boast in my weakness. Because when I'm weak, he is strong. So flip that. Flip the script of the enemy. When things are happening in your life and you feel like you're weak, just boast and say, oh man, thank God that this is an opportunity for God's grace to overshadow my weakness and get me through where I need to be in my life. Thank God that God is allowing me to see His strength in the midst of this, because it's giving me the strength to move on. Thank God for that, that I'm going to have to do this in my own strength, because in my own strength, I'm not going to last. But His strength gives me the grace that I need to keep going. And don't allow the enemy to wreak havoc on your mind to say, well, God doesn't love you because of this. No, rejoice. Flip the script. You have to understand the way it works and how it should work. Every time the enemy comes in, asks you one way, you have to counter with the goodness of God and flip it on him.
Yes.
If you are agreeing with him, you have fell into the trap that he wants you to fall into. There are certain times where he comes in, and honestly, I disagree with him at times. So, you know, you're right. But, you're right. But I know who God is. God, I know who my Savior is. I know where my hope is found. I know who my foundation is. I know my rock. His name is Jesus Christ.
Right.
He's the chief cornerstone. But he can't, listen, when you start doing that stuff, he can't stay.
Yeah.
Because he can't handle the name of Jesus, and he can't handle your faith.
That's right.
The issue is that we don't respond in the right way. Instead of arguing with them, just agree with them and say, you know, you're probably right. However, and just reminisce about the goodness of God, because it causes him to reminisce about what happened to him.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I am defeated. You are defeated. And that's something we forget, that he has already been defeated by one greater than him.
That's right.
And so if he has already been defeated by the one greater than him, then the one who is in me is greater than he that is in the world,
yeah.
Then I don't have to walk in that defeat.
That's right.
I can walk in the victory because the battle has already been won through Jesus Christ, and so I am appropriating that victory in my life, and because of the strength that I have in Jesus Christ, I've already won. I may not see the victory or see what I want to see in my life right now, but it's coming.
Yeah.
It's totally coming, because I know that he always causes me to triumph in him.
Yep.
I'm always going to win. I'm always going to win. And so when it looks like I'm not going to win, I am going to win. And so you have to get that in your head and in your mindset that says, I'm a winner. I'm always going to win. No matter how hard you try to knock me down, I'll always prop back up. I will always prop back up. Because I have the resurrection life of Jesus Christ living inside of me. And anything that you try to do is not going to work long term. It won't work. It won't be effective. Because he even said that any weapon that formed against you is not going to prosper.
That's right.
It won't. It can try, but it won't. Because when I have the power of Jesus Christ flowing through me and the Spirit of God, that stuff does not work. The traps don't work. The schemes don't work. I can see the scheme. I can understand what it is, and I can wreck it.
That's right.
That's the benefit of you being in a close relationship with Jesus Christ. You can wreck things before they wreck you.
Right. Yeah.
You can wreck things even before they even happen. When you even start to see the enemy start to build a case against you, you can tear that stuff right down and say, no, I've already seen that. That doesn't work anymore. And you know, you're going to see stuff on the screen. Just look at me. It's fine. Okay? And so even in your own life, just wreck it before it even starts being built.
Yeah.
Because if you're not careful, you'll start to agree with the case that is being brought against you. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When it brings accusation against you, and depending on what mood you're in, you'll begin to agree with that case. And then when you begin to agree with the case, you begin to side with him. And when you side with him, you're already defeated. Because then he begins to take you down that little rabbit trail that God already delivered you from and helped heal you from. And you got to be careful about that rabbit trail, because that trail is always ready for you to go down.
Yep.
It's always ready. Because the enemy is always ready to take you on that trail. But you have to understand who you are in Jesus Christ. You got to know it. And so this is good stuff. It's exciting because you know that when it does come in, you have the power to stop it. No, I know. It just happens. You have the power to take every thought captive according to the obedience of Christ. You know, I need him to do it. He already did do it. It's your part. You got to take the thought captive. That's your job. And at the same time, receive his grace to endure. Man, let's just be honest. Some of y'all are too old to be messing with stuff that happened like 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You're too old to mess with that. You're too old in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
for you to be messing with like little kid stuff that the enemy tries to keep throwing at you. Tricks are like for kids, man. For kids. Okay. They were good back then, like 8. They felt good, but when you found out they all had that artificial flavoring in them and it weren't good for you anymore, you stopped eating them. Okay? Because as you got older, you realized that honey bunches of oats and that stuff is better for you. Even though, you know, Special K, having sugar, all that stuff. All that stuff is better for me, for my body. You're too old in the faith to keep tripping over stuff that the enemy used years ago. And so I just want to help you continue to move forward and know that you have a hope in Jesus, and what worked yesterday should not be working today on you. If it is, come talk to me or talk to one of the leaders that are in here, because that stuff should not be working, because you don't understand your value and your worth and what Jesus actually died for in your life so that you can actually keep getting up in your life. Keep getting up in your life. And stop allowing the enemy to hold you down and to keep you down to where you don't need to be. I'm going to keep this good today. I'm going to keep going. And I just feel good about God. And He's good. All right, so 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Let's go down there. It says, "But it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead. How can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." They were dealing with some people in the church saying that Jesus was not resurrected. And because of that, it was causing them to go astray and to begin to think things that they were not supposed to be thinking. If you live like Jesus has not been resurrected, it is a sad existence. We are in trouble. If Jesus has not been resurrected, we are in trouble. We are the most pitied people on the earth. Because of the things that we preach and the things that we tell people, if there is no resurrected Christ, we are in trouble and we should be a laughingstock to people. Because that is the one thing that gives us hope. Why do I go through everything that I go through in my life if there is no resurrected Jesus? If there is no resurrected Jesus, I have no hope to hold on to. And the things that I'm going through have no validity or no merit in my life. I go through the things in my life because of the fact that Jesus is resurrected.
That's right.
And
right.
It enables me to continue to move on in my life. And so if you don't have that belief system, it is just useless. Absolutely useless for you to keep moving on and trusting in Jesus. Because of the fact that it gives us the credence to stand on what we're standing on today. Isn't that why we do what we do?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that why Paul says, "I face death every day"? Paul went through some serious stuff. Paul said, "I'm going through all this stuff, and if there's no resurrected Christ, I'm in trouble."
Mm-hmm.
I'm in trouble. And so wherever you're at in your life, take stock and know that you actually have a reason for the hope that is living inside of you.
Yeah.
And that is actually for a reason. Let me kick off and finish with these verses here. 15, verse 29 to 34. "Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those who do are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them?" Talk about this for a minute. "And as for us, here's the thing. Why do we endanger ourselves every hour?" In other words, why am I going through this every hour? "I face death every day, yes, just as surely as I boast about you in Christ Jesus our Lord. If I fought wild beasts in Ephesus but no more than human hopes, what have I gained if the dead are not raised? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God, and I say this to your shame." Paul said, "Hey, listen, we've got some problems." Back then there was just mindset that if believers who died before they were baptized, they thought that believers who were alive could be baptized in their stead in order to cover them. And whatever your thought process on that, that was just kind of the thought process back then. I don't personally believe that today. Once the Bible says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, so I believe that there's no covering. Okay, I don't believe there's an in-between. You can argue that theology later on. I believe that once you're gone, you're gone. Okay, and that there's no more amount of good works you can do in order to get yourself better, in order to get into heaven or not get into heaven. Either you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you've been sanctified by the blood, or you're not. And so by going and being baptized for someone else, I don't believe really helps someone who's not here anymore. Okay, and so they kind of had that mindset. And Paul was kind of playing on this, so I'll look at him and say, "Listen, well, if that's the case, then why do you guys do it then? If there's no resurrection, why even do it?" And let's go a little bit further. He says, why am I facing this kind of attack every single day in my life if there is no resurrection. And let's go a little bit further. Why am I facing wild beasts? Why am I going against animals who want to kill me if there is no resurrection? It's crazy. He said, why am I putting myself in harm's way constantly if I don't have a hope that's greater than me? Why am I doing this? Why, Richie Solo, am I doing this every single day? If I am carrying around the death of Jesus Christ in my body every single day, the Bible says, so that I can come alive or so that other people can come alive as a result of that, then why am I doing that? Because I have a hope that's greater than me.
That's right.
I would not put myself in this position if there was no hope. You got to be crazy. But because my life is not my own anymore, I gladly give it over and present it as a living sacrifice under God, holy and acceptable, which is my reasonable act of worship. I do it because that's how reasonable it should be. Some people ask, well, how much of God should I give? All of you. Well, that's a lot. Yeah, because He gave all for you. And what He said was, when He said that scripture was, it is the reasonable thing, it's really the least you should do. You know how it is when you go to a wedding or you go to a party. You know, there's a certain decor or a certain amount that you should give, okay, to someone. Or, you know, what's reasonable. Sometimes when you give a gift to someone, you know what I'm talking about. You don't want to be cheap. You want to be nice. It's reasonable because of the fact that, and someone, let's just be honest, somebody try to scam me, get something out of the closet. I'm not using that anymore. So let's just do that. And because you're not using it, you don't want to spend the money, you never liked the bowl in the first place, and so now you want to give it to someone else, and you're like, well, oh, they can use it. So it's reasonable when you go to something of that nature, whether it's a wedding or a party, that you bring something because that's what you're supposed to do. Okay? And as someone who's been married, and people who have been married in here, you look at the gifts that you've been given. Oh, that was nice that people gave, and you're very appreciative of it, because that's what you're supposed to do. It's the same way in your relationship with Christ. Why is it any different? Well, He stood up there and laid out His life for me. And so what I'll do is I'll just give Him half of me, because it costs too much to give Him my whole self. And I could be further from the truth. How could you not want to give everything that you have to someone who gave everything for you? And that's just to say that He didn't just give it to you and then leave you.
That's good.
Every single day, He gives you what you need. Mm-hmm. He loads you with the benefits that you need. He gives you the grace you need, Thomas, every single day. He gives you the mercy that you need every single day. He gives you the fortitude to stay in the fight every single day. He's the one who gives you the reason to get up every single day. He doesn't just leave you. He goes with you wherever you go. So I want to be in a relationship with someone like that. He died for me, but now He goes with me? And then eventually He's going to present me? I want to be around someone like that. I love my wife. And we have a pretty good relationship. But eventually, ultimately, when I stand before God, guess who I'm standing before God with? Not her. Me. The one who goes with me everywhere I go. I'm not with her all the time. And so it's the one who never leaves me or forsakes me, who I have a relationship with, that who goes with me and protects me and talks to me and whispers to me and speaks to me. That's the kind of guy I want to go to. That's the kind of guy who gives me the grace to keep fighting and standing and loving and doing what I have to do. That's the kind of guy who gives me the grace to overcome this little stuff that happens on a Sunday morning that really doesn't mean anything in the long term. Because God is still good. And so it doesn't mean anything. It's people who have a mindset that says, well, I didn't have a great service today because there was no worship. It had nothing to do with that. Back in the old day, they just came up. They just got up and started preaching. Paul was preaching all night sometimes. People were falling out of windows and dying. And Paul went down, prayed for them, raised them back up, and then went back to preaching. Because it doesn't matter. All that other stuff is just stuff that helps you get in the mood or the spirit. We have to get help to get there. But the preaching of the word is enough. It's enough. It's sufficient. Because the Spirit of God can help you grab hold of something and do something in your heart just like this. And you can leave saying, man, it was good. I got something I needed to get today. Because it's just what it is. The preaching of God is enough. It's sufficient. Jesus is sufficient. If we came here today and just sat here and we just kind of talked about different things and who God was, God would still be here. You know why? Because the Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name, there He is. Everything else is just bonus. When I get up every single day, I get up with someone who loves me, who died for me, who wants the best for me. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing that keeps me moving. Everything else I get or see throughout the day is just bonus. When I come into church, it just adds to the fact that I've been saved. It just adds to the fact about what God is doing in my life and that God has called me to do life with people. It just adds to that. It doesn't take away from it. So that's why when I come into a place or I come into a venue, wherever it is, I bring Jesus with me. I don't have to wait and to get to a place in order for me to feel better about myself. Hear me. Hear me. I don't have to wait until I get into a place to feel better about myself. If you're waiting to get into a place to feel better about what God is doing, you're totally missing out on that intimate relationship that God wants to bring you. That's just who God is. Because let's just be honest, some of the places that you go, you don't even like the people you go with. And God gives you the grace just to deal with them. But isn't God good? You can still leave with your head held up high because He still goes with you. He does not leave you. When I'm vacuuming my car out and sweating, He doesn't leave me. His presence is there and I feel goodness, reminiscing about the goodness of God, vacuuming my car out because He's there. Wherever I go. And it's exciting to be in a relationship like that to where I know that someone has my back. I can fight the enemy. I can go through battles and struggles. And at the same time, knowing I'm doing it for a specific reason. I'm doing it because my life is not my own anymore. I've been bought with a price. And I can glorify God with my body and with my soul because of who He is. That's the kind of hope that we have in our life. Guys, help me. Where are we at? Help me. You're struggling. Okay, may not be worship today, guys. Sorry. So having an understanding about who Jesus is important. And so wherever you're at in your life right now, the hope of Jesus is your foundation. How many would you agree that Paul is probably one of the most effective communicators in the New Testament? Mm-hmm. Probably one of the most effective, right? And so when he begins to talk about things like this and say, hey guys, listen, this is to your ignorance that you are not believing in the resurrection. He was saying it in a forthright manner. Because it is the very thing that causes people to stumble and not to believe fully in who Jesus Christ is. Do you know you're the one who has the hope? You're the one. You're the one. You're the one who carries that hope wherever you go. And so if you're not carrying that hope with you, then your relationship with God is suffering. It's suffering. There are some things that I've been through in my life that have been pretty difficult. Pretty difficult. The sheer fact that I made it through those difficulties is a testament to the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Because without that hope, I would not have made it. Mm-hmm. And how many of you, be honest, say without that hope, I probably would not have made it. Mm-hmm. Because that's just who He is. Yep. And so as you get ready to face this week and to go out and to begin to experience some new things. And you're going to experience some new stuff this week. You know that, right? You're going to experience some new stuff. And the enemy is going to come in and whisper in your ear. You need to remind him about how good God has been.
Right.
And where God has taken you. Mm-hmm. Because that's just who He is. And so I want to encourage you guys to be able to really stay steadfast in your faith and really say, okay, God, what you have for me is worth me continuing to move on with you. Because you have a hope. You're going to get me here, sick of me hearing it. You have a hope. Things happen in your life, you have a hope. You know, some years ago, you know, I was dealing with stuff. How many of you guys have ever had an identity crisis in your life? And that's been, just beyond, you cut your hair a certain way. You put an earring in a place that probably shouldn't have gone. Okay? You're like, okay. You begin hanging out with people that you probably shouldn't have hung out with in an identity crisis, right? Because in the identity crisis, that's what it is. It's a crisis of identity. And so you're trying to find where you fit. Where do I fit? And so in trying to find where you fit, what happens is you actually start losing a little bit of who you are because you're trying to ask someone else to help define only what God can define for you. So that's why when you are in relationships with other people and that you are beginning to grow in relationship with other people, you have to be really careful about who you influence or who you allow to influence in your life. And in other words, this, you need to get away from some people. It's the very reason why God has allowed some of the people to go in your life so that you can be influenced in the right way. How many of you look back and say, thank God some people left? Thank God they left. Because they just want to have that guy they left. And it was God, just go ahead. And you had to grin it and bear it, but it was okay because God was doing some new things in your life. And it's the same way because God is so persistent on you understanding where your identity is that he will move people out of your life who do not need to be there. And this does not change as you get older. You know, as you get older and as you establish yourself and as you become more healthy, there are certain things that now define you that did not define you before. Mm-hmm. And so you can't afford to allow those things to come back in your life or be into your life because you don't want your peace place to be disrupted. There are certain things in your life you don't want disrupted anymore. There are certain things in your life that you know that God does not want you to have in your life anymore because it wasn't good for you anymore and that it wasn't healthy for you anymore. And you might say, why do you keep going back to this healthy piece? Because it is the single most important thing in your life that's going to help you have a correct perspective on what real spirituality is in your life and God's love for you. Because if you don't understand that God has fought for you, that not only he fought for you, he died for you, that God has been putting and placing people around you who need to be there, but also pulling people away from you. If you don't understand the fact that God loves you intimately, it's going to be very difficult for you to be able to understand when God actually moves people in and when he moves people out of your life, because they are only there to assist you in the building process. What do I mean by the building process? I mean by the building process that he's doing in you. Mm-hmm. We understand that, right? When God goes to build a building when they go to build a building, they start really from the foundation, the bottom, and they start to build things. And, you know, they have the studs and they lay the foundation, they put the piping down, and Craig, you can correct me later if I'm wrong, I probably am. And then they begin to put the pipes in, and then everything starts from a little piece or drawing out where the land is, and everything is built upon something else. And as you begin to build upon things, you don't need the guys that you used to build who started in the beginning anymore because their job is done. And so it's the same way in your life. God used certain people to get you to a certain point, and then when their job is done, guess what? They move on, and God uses them to do other things in their life. And it's the same way with you. If you can get to the point and have a healthy perspective about when people are coming and going, you will be that much further than a lot of people. Because a lot of people grab onto who they have in their life, not realizing that they're not theirs anyway. And that they need to release them back over to someone who understands where that person is actually going. And so if you can have that healthy perspective, you'll be healthy. You'll be healthy. And you'll be able to receive what God is trying to do in your life because of the fact that you know that he knows what's best for you. What's best for you. How many of you, God has asked you to do something, or you know that God is leading you somewhere, and you just felt like God said, I just need you to trust me in this. Mm-hmm. Yes. You may not understand all of it. I just need you to trust me. Mm-hmm. And that's what a good father is. And it's not until maybe afterward that you get a sense of, oh, I see why he did that. Mm-hmm. Because God is so jealous for you. He wants you. I want a relationship with you. I was talking to someone the other day, and they were talking about just how passionate God is for us. Not just as people, but as individuals. That when God designed you, he designed you specifically with a purpose and intimately so that he can fellowship with you personally. So it's not just about you, what you're doing for God, even though it's good because as you're doing it, he's with you. But it's about having a relationship with God so that when he taps you on the shoulder and says, hey, listen, I need you to turn this way or I need you to go that way, you say, okay, yes, I'll go that way because he is still first. That's who God is. And so wherever you are in your life, rejoice for the people that you have around you. But know ultimately, number one, they're God's. And number two, that he wants a relationship with you that is separate from them. Does that make sense to you? Mm-hmm. Even though Ellen and Gary are married and have a relationship with one another, God still wants a relationship with Ellen. And I would be so bold to say, and I've said it in my own life, I know what I'm getting in the way of my relationship with my wife. I feel it. There's a guard that's there, and I feel like I need to back off, because it's God's job not only to deal with her, but it's God's job to have a relationship with her. And so I can actually hinder that process. And so that's why one of the most difficult things to do is to be in a healthy relationship with someone, is because not only do you want to have an intimate relationship with someone, but you also have to let God do his work in that person.
Yeah.
And that you can help speed your relationship along if you will just tip back a little bit and allow God to do the work in that person so that you guys can actually walk together. Because not only does God have a plan for you as a couple or relate, God also has a plan for the individual, and you cannot forget that.
Yeah.
And that's one of the toughest things to do in healthy relationships, to know that God still has a plan for an individual, even though God has called those two people to be one. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to be at. And that's another level. That's why when some people say, I want to get married, you have to understand what you're talking about. And I'm not single and not married people. I love single people too. It doesn't matter where you're at. God loves you. But what I'm saying is that you have to be careful of the things that you want in your life, because of the responsibilities that actually come along with it. Mm. Marriage is wonderful, and it's a great picture of Christ and the church, and it's great, but it's a difficult thing to go through and to process through, because God is actually working out his plan through both of you as he works on both of you. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to handle that and have the grace to be able to deal with that. Because I am man, hear me roar, she is woman, I'm not that way. And so, it's the same way. That's why God made it that way. He said, listen, you're going to complement one another. And as you do that, we're going to work out this salvation thing together. And it's a beautiful thing. And so wherever you're at in your life, take stock of your relationships. If people are speaking to you, and if you feel that people are bringing you to a place where you don't feel like you're growing, maybe it's time to make a change. What does this have anything to do with the lesson? It does. Paul said, hey, listen, there are people in your church right now who are preaching some wrong things. Get away from them. It's ignorant. He said, basically, it's shameful that you're actually following them. And I would say to you, if there are people in your life, you don't feel like that relationship is blossoming, or you don't feel like there's fruit coming out of it, then you might need to make a change, send them all somewhere else. And maybe God's just using that to get you to move away. But you have to be okay with that. Because remember, God is about edifying and building up, and about getting you into a good place. That does not mean you don't go to your job tomorrow and say, I quit, I don't like you. I quit, God's doing something in my life, you're not edifying me. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But there are certain things you have to do. Don't be stupid.
Yeah.
Okay, what I am saying is that you take the stock of the relationships in your life right now. What are they adding?
Yeah.
What are they subtracting?
Yeah.
And is it beneficial for me to stay in this relationship? And then apply healthy boundaries. Mm-hmm. Apply healthy boundaries. There are certain people I like to be around. There are certain people I can't be around for any length of time. Can I just be real with you? Can't. There are certain people I can do life with for a short time. Then I got to move on. We're laughing, but it's true. And you know it's true. Because there is something inside of us called the Holy Spirit who gives us that wisdom to say, it's not good for you to be in this position this long. And God is so good that he allows us to see that so we can develop those boundaries so that we can stay healthy. Because God doesn't want anything coming in that's not necessarily beneficial for you. Doesn't mean it's not going to help train you. Now, again, I'm not talking about your job. Hello. I'm talking about your relationships. Even outside your job. Even on your job, too, you can have boundaries. God's calling you to do life with people. But also, you might have an issue where you have to work with employees and you may not be able to work effectively with them. That's why you have team building. That's why our strategies be able to help you. Am I blue or red? Can I work with you? Can I not? All that stuff is beneficial because companies are trying to help you work together because they know 55 people in a room is going to be problems. And it's the same way in your relationship with God and in the community that God is trying to build. God wants healthy relationships. And so if you're in a position right now, and as we get ready to close, God is saying to you, hey, listen, it's probably time to set a boundary. Stop listening to what these people are saying to you, because all it's doing is helping you not walk with me. I need you to do it. One of the things that my wife has said to me before is, like, sometimes, you know, You're so focused that maybe you're oblivious to what else is going around you. No, you just learn in life that there are certain things that you're going to listen to and certain things you're not going to listen to. So if I'm hearing the voice of the Lord saying, come this way, I'm going that way. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, the voices are going to come, but the only voice that I care about is that voice. Because that's the only voice that's going to help me get to where I need to go in my life. There are certain influences that I have in my life that I value. My wife actually is one of them. Okay, she's a tremendous influence. Okay, I value Erin. Okay, she's a tremendous influence. Okay, he didn't mention me. He doesn't like me. It has nothing to do with that. Okay? Don't leave. This is part of being healthy. Don't leave here today saying Kasha doesn't like me. No, just okay. God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. Your identity's in Him. Don't worry about it. Okay, there are certain people who add value to you. There are other people that you just have to measure their influence. That makes sense to you. Mm-hmm. And Paul was very specific about this point. Because the church was being led astray because leaders were not doing their job. Mm-hmm. And they were not following the chief cornerstone, Jesus. Yeah. Amen? Let's all stand up to our feet. So we're going to close out the worship today, guys. It's going to be a little bit different. But I really want you to enter in into a place of where you begin to understand and value the hope that you've been given, and that's Jesus Christ. And some of you might be saying, oh, can I give? You can give on the way out. We'll do that later. But I do just want to help you understand the immense love of God that He shows toward you every single day. Every day. Not only did He create you, but He's still chasing you. Mm-hmm. And that chase is part of the adventure that we're on as people. And so I pray that you guys would have an understanding of the love of God and understand the value that you have in Him. And you might be saying to yourself, well, I don't really have much value. You have value. You may not see it the way God sees it, but you have value. And sometimes it's just a matter of you continuing to take steps on where you feel like you need to go, and all of a sudden God begins to reveal things to you and who you are. And that's why He goes to great lengths to get you moving in your life so that He can actually show you things. Sometimes it's just a matter of you getting up and getting out of your circumstances and just taking a walk somewhere. Sometimes He'll do it at night and wake you up and say, hey, let's talk. And you don't want to talk. And it's not necessarily about you talking, but you just feel like God downloading things in you. You're just thinking about stuff. You're like, okay. You know what? I can be really honest with you. Sometimes I do my best thinking when God wakes me up. Because I can't do it during the day sometimes. Because I'm so preoccupied about what's going on. Sometimes I'll be up at night. I'll just wake up. And I'm up. I'm just waking up thinking about stuff. And I'm thinking about, okay, I can do this. I'm playing. There's things in my head. I'm just thinking about this one I'm going to do here. This one I'm going to do here. This one I'm going to do there. God's going to direct my steps where I need to go, but just dropping things in me that I'm seeing. Because He knows how to get to you. Some of you might think He don't know. He knows how to get to you. If you've got to pull over on the side of the road, you ever have that moment? We're like, I got to pull over right now. Because you're singing a worship song, and that thing is just messing your face up. I got to pull over on the side of the road right now because God is really doing something. I got to pull over, and He'll get you right there. It doesn't matter. So don't think that you can go too far that God can't reach. He can reach. And so He's going to continue to come after you.